wonderful lead pastor, Pastor Keith.
You can sit down now. Hey, can we do something for me, just for me? Can we one more time welcome our first-time guests like we're really glad they're here? I mean, I'm so glad you guys are here. I got to meet. It's really cool that things are happening now where I'll meet somebody and say, hey, I saw somebody this morning and said, have we met yet? And I said, no, we've been here 3 or 4 weeks, but we haven't got to meet yet. And so what a blessing it is, man. God's just filling the house up every week, and we're so grateful. And y'all, you know, I had a commercial, but I'm not going to do it. I just want to talk about what Brandon, would you go back to that song with you and put up the first verse? Beneath, yes, beneath the surface of my anxious imagination. This week, Kara, who just sang that beautifully, by the way, just put out on, she was working on this, and she just realized how prophetic this really is right now in our world, because we got a lot of anxiety, anxious people. I remember growing up as a kid without social media. I can remember the peace of that. Not getting news, like, even sometimes hours after it happened. When Brittany was my youngest, she was in her seventh or eighth grade. They were studying world history, and they'd gone through and talked about World War II and all those things. And we went to a nursing home later. We used to take our youth group to nursing homes and visit, and it was pretty awesome to watch kids interact with people in the nursing homes. And she found out this lady that was there. Her mind was brilliant, but her body had given up on her, and that's why she was there. And Brittany asked me, or not Brittany asked me, I was talking to the lady, and we were just in the conversation, and she said, well, I'm 99 years old. So I brought Brittany over. I said, I want you to meet this lady. She's 99 years old. And Brittany said, oh, you were alive when World War II actually happened. And she said, yeah, I was. And anyway, we talked about it for a few minutes. And I said, I want to ask you a question. How long did it take you to get the news about the war and all of that? She said, oh, honey, we lived on the other side of the fence in Leighton, Alabama. She said, it took 2 days for us to get the news in our newspaper. And it just, I mean, even back then, that was a long time ago. And even then, we watched wars happen. You know, we watched the Gulf War happen on TV, and 9/11. We just got through thinking about all over again and watching those things happen. And then this week, losing Charlie Kirk the way we did. And this sermon is not going to be about that necessarily per se, because what I wrote for this message today and this series coming up, I did Wednesday morning. Before that ever happened, and Wednesday around a little afternoon. And it's just God is speaking very loud and clear. And when people get on TV or social media or whatever they do, and they try to bring out their anxiety in the moment and either type it out and vomit it out on the internet or whatever they do, first of all, I'm going to ask all of our Discovery Church partners, let's don't get involved in that. Would you just not? Amen. Let's just don't. You don't have to. All you can do is still talk about Jesus. Just to be talking about Jesus. And so she posted on there the words, that first verse, beneath the surface of my anxious imagination, beckons, the next part of that is, beckons a calmness that is found in you alone. And I thought, man, that is so prophetic to what's going on in our world. And here's the deal. These things have happened over and over again, at least in my lifetime, just in different things and different things have happened. And one of the things I want to bring to your attention is Charlie was a martyr, I believe, because he stood up for truth, okay? And he also stood up for Jesus. And I love that most about him. But let me tell you something. Go sometimes online and look at the voice of the martyrs.
Yep. Amen.
They're not just thousands, but hundreds of thousands of people all the time that we are sheltered from, that are losing their life every day just because they say Lord Jesus instead of whatever the other people want, and losing their lives in brutal ways, just like Charlie did, and just like other people who have, people who've been in wars trying to fight for truth and do whatever, people who've gone before us, and all the, I could talk about this all day. I'm not going to, but I want you to know that God is on the move in the midst of it. And here's the thing, beneath the surface of our anxious imaginations and all the things that we try to go through, It's so easy for us to take focus off of what really matters. And I just want to bring us back. I want to bring myself back to what really, really matters. Liz and I went to a wedding of her nephew yesterday, and just watching these two young people give their lives to each other in marriage. And you guys are like me. We've been married a long time, and we've been through marriage and ups and downs and all those things. You know what's coming for them, right? But keeping Christ at the very center of that is the hope that they have. And they're two strong Christian young people that love the Lord very deeply. And I was so glad to hear that, because that's what's going to keep them together. That's the glue that will stick them together. Jesus said, by my words, all things consist. It's held together by the very word of his power. And so that led me, before this happened to Charlie, that led me, it came from a Bill Downs video. He sent me a video. He sends me videos all the time. Some of them are like an hour and 50 minutes long, and I love you, brother. You know that. It's just hard for me to listen to an hour unless I'm going on a trip. But he sent me one, and I listened to this video, and it really, really helped me focus my mind toward this next series. It's called Author Power. Author Power. Now, when I say author, immediately your mind probably goes to someone who writes a book, right? And when I was in college, I had a professor, he defined authority, the word authority, as author power. I've never forgotten this. I don't remember exactly which professor it was, but I remember him saying, boys, he said, listen, Jesus has authority, and authority is author power. And what that means is that the person who's writing the story, who's putting the story together, no matter what that story is the one who gets the authority over the story. And God's the one who's in charge and in control of it all. And I'm going to get to this later. I know it doesn't seem that way sometimes, but he is. And we're going to talk a little bit about his authority in these next few weeks coming, meaning that Jesus, number one blank to fill out today, if you came in, you got a worship guide, you should have, and you have little notes in there you can pull out with you, fill in some blanks together. But we're going to learn from the word today about what author power actually is. And who that is. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give this whole series a foundation today. And the foundation is, number one point, Jesus is authority. Everybody say that with me out loud. Jesus is authority. He's author power. He's author power. He is the one in charge. He is the one that's over it all. And that power, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Back up. Whoa. What's that right here? All right, stay right here. It was seen in one of the stories of Christ. I'm listening to the Gospels over and over and over again on my audio Bible. That's just a goal that I have between now and the end of the year. I just want to imbibe the stories of Christ. I want to hear how he reacted to people, what he did with people, and how he carried his authority, how he carried himself. I just got through listening to the story again out of Matthew's account, but I'm going to read is out of John's account. Jesus comes before Pilate a couple of times, actually. And I don't think Pilate actually wanted to kill Jesus. I think he really saw. He said, I think he's innocent. And so when the Jews cried out, crucify him, you know, because it was all such a political world. If we don't learn anything from that time, we ought to learn something about that. A lot of this political stuff is carrying everybody's feelings around. Just let Jesus carry your whole heart around. And a lot of that stuff will go away. I promise you it will. So he goes before Pilate. And the Bible says this in John chapter 19, verse 9. Pilate took Jesus back into the headquarters again and asked him, where are you from? Jesus gave him no answer. And he said, why don't you answer me? Pilate demanded, don't you realize, listen to this sentence. Don't you realize that I have the power to release you or to crucify you? Let's let that hang there for a minute. This is a Roman governor talking to the one and only son of the one and only Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim of all Elohim, God of all gods, King of all kings, Lord of all lords, telling him that I've got the right to kill you or not. And as Jesus always does, he answers these things with such authority. And here's what he said. And let me ask you this. How many times has someone approached you? This is not even in my notes, but how many times somebody approached you and challenged your authority, knowing you knew you were right in the moment, maybe this was like a teenager. You know, teenagers grow up and they kind of like some people do God. You know, we create them, bring them in the world, and they deny we exist, right? And so that's kind of what I do. And it's part of it. I did the same thing to my mom and dad. And sometimes I hope it's not part of your family, but it was for me and my mom and dad. And I was like, you guys have no idea what this world is like. And in some ways, they didn't. My mom and dad were very sheltered in their thinking about what was going on when I'd go to school. Somebody might be that way as well. But you tell your kids, hey, if you keep doing this is what's going to happen. And they look at you and go, I don't think so. It won't happen to me. And you go, oh, if you only knew the authority I have in your life right now. And sometimes you just can't get it until you have kids of your own. Then all of a sudden your parents become much smarter than they used to be. Jesus, here's how he answers him. He says, you would have no power over me at all unless it were given to you from above. I mean, in Jesus, it's almost like if you watch Jesus' reactions in this crucifixion story, he's about to go to the cross and he knows it. He cried and prayed that there'd be another way. And he said, God, your will be done. And when he's challenged over and over again about his authority, The Old Testament says that the Messiah would come. He would be like a lamb before his shearers. He would be dumb, not opening his mouth. Not dumb in the sense of stupid, but dumb in the sense of he couldn't talk. And he could have, but he didn't. He didn't. He just simply said, you have no idea who you're talking to. That's the way if this were in a movie, man, I could think of so many better lines than this, you know, that he would say to Pilate. But Jesus, in his calm way, just says, you have nothing without my God. He's in the control of all of this, but you can't see it. Then after his resurrection, Jesus meets up with his disciples, and he proclaims to them something we've all heard time and time again. I want you to hear it in just a little bit of a different light, is that Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority. All authority. Everybody say all. You can see several alls in this text as we read forward. I'm not going to get forward just yet. But Jesus came and said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And my memory fails me, but somewhere I think in Colossians it says, over the earth, on the earth, and below the earth. I mean, it's like Jesus is saying, I've got all this authority. And what I said earlier, this world turns, you breathe, the gravity works, the sun does what it does, the planets do what they do, the grass grows, it's dying now, it will die out, and Lord willing, come back next spring and things will flourish. Do you know how that happens? At the very breath of Jesus, Messiah. That's the gravity of his power. And he's in control of it all. Over the next several weeks, as I unfold these, I want to share stories with you where Jesus is not only powerful over just this is foundational over all. We're going to see some actual stories in his life where he actually he shows his power in the moment when he needed it there, and how he reacted in it. There was no pomp and circumstance with Jesus. It was just demons come out. It was just water. I'm going to walk on you. I mean, it's just, he had authority, peace be still, and it stopped. And the disciples went, oh, what? Yo, we've lost our amazement of Jesus. Amen. We hear Jesus so much in our church culture, and even people don't believe in him, use his name in vain. So we hear his name all the time, and we have lost some awe. Wow. And that's why every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, and he gives without any kind of like prejudice about it. He gives to everybody, even the people who won't glorify him get gifts. He reigns on the just and the unjust. God is universally love. He cares about every human who has ever walked, who is walking, and whoever will walk. He loves them all. And you know the magnitude of who I don't even know how to say it. I'm trying to find words. Holy Spirit, please. Just let us know what it is that we need to see. Point number two is this. We walk in delegated authority as well. Because that passage, Jesus said, I have all authority in heaven and on earth. Go, here's what he says after that. Therefore, I like the word therefore in the Bible. You always ask, what's it there for? And it's always pointing to something he either just said or just said right before what he just said. You have to look back and find it. This one's easy. He said, I've been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, since that authority is in me, he says to his disciples, as you go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them at what? In the name of. In the name of. Oh, I wish it had just been translated like it means it. Like by the authority of. By the name of Christ. It's like when you write your name on a check and you take it to the bank, it's authoritative. If I write a check to Clark and give it to him, he can take it to the bank. And if there's anything there, he can get some authority in that. He says, here, I got this check from Pastor Keith, and I want my money. And they just give you money. Isn't it amazing? We trade a piece of paper for money. That's authority. But if I hand him a blank check and he signs it, and my bank's good enough, they'll find out that is not the right name. We know Keith's scratchy little handwriting. That's not him. And we know that. Try handing the officer who pulls you over for speeding a license of your parents or the license of a good friend or somebody that's of a different gender or whatever, and they'll look at you like you're crazy. You probably go to jail for that. Why? Because your license is what gives you the authority to drive on the streets. You see what I'm saying with this? We call policemen the authorities. Why? Because they have authority in the moment. Jesus said, I've got all authority. Since that happens, you go in the name of, by the authority of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey. How many? All. Oh, there's another all. All the commandments. He's got all the authority for all the nations to obey all the commandments that he's given. And be sure I am with you. Here's another one. Always. Always. I know that's not the proper way to spell that, but today it's a new word. Even to the end of the age. There's not a question about when. End of the age. It's while we are here. We walk in his authority, y'all. We walk in the same authority of the one who breathes, who speaks, and the sun does what it does, who speaks and the plants come back, and who speaks and things stop dying, and speaks and heals cancer, and speaks and takes away all the anxious thoughts that are in our hearts, and we're looking for something else in the world. The world's looking for so many other things to try to find this. Are y'all hearing this? Have y'all heard this kind of preaching enough that you're going, hey, we got it, man. We just don't know what to do. I just got through telling you what to do. Matthew West wrote a song. I don't even know all the words of it, but it says, he looks at God basically and says, why don't you do something? And he said, I did. I sent you. That's right. I love that thought, man. He sent me in the moment. And anyway, walking in his authority, make disciples. Go do what I've given you to do. How was this authority made possible? Why Jesus and no other Messiah? Did y'all know there were more than one Messiah that came? That claimed Messiahship? That claimed he was? But there was only one, the Messiah. And you know how he proved it? You guys who are believers, y'all know where I'm going with this, right? How did he prove it? What was his end statement, the exclamation part on the end of his sentence of his life? His coming out of the grave. It's the resurrection. Authority made possible is made possible by resurrection. Paul said it this way in Ephesians. He said, God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life. How? When he raised Jesus from the dead. And everything connected with salvation is connected to baptism. We bury the old person, raise the new person. This idea of dying to yourself. I no longer am going to think like I want to. I'm going to let that person. The Bible says, put to death the sins, the deeds of the body, the deeds of the flesh. That means kill that stuff. Put it in behind you. That is no more a part of me. And walk in the authority of Christ. He says, it's only by God's grace you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ. And check this out. Peter Carpenter sent me a prayer recently, and he does this all the time. He sends me stuff that's spiritually deep. And he sends me a prayer recently that said, something, it's in my notes, I'll have to look at it to get it exactly right. But Lord, help me and forgive me for the times that I've abdicated my authority. I've given my authority away to not be responsible for what you've given me for which to be responsible. You can fill that blank in with a lot of stuff, can't you? Your responsibility on this earth is not given to you by happenstance or chance, you know, falling in love. Usually something I fall into hurts. I just fell out of love. No, you didn't. You quit making your commitment to your spouse. No, you decided that you're more important than he or she is. No, you decided to walk in somebody else's authority besides the authority of Christ. Because Jesus said you love your wives, husband, as Christ loved the church. And you give your life over to your husband, wives. Because why? Because that's the way Abraham did it. He said, Sarah said, Lord. It's not about the modus operandi and how that comes out. And people who are abusing those passages haven't found the love of Christ. It's the same way. It's why we go into our schools, into our workplaces, smelling like Jesus and looking like and acting like and walking like Jesus. Amen. I was telling Liz last night, we talked a little bit about this, and I was telling her that I give myself permission based on her actions sometimes. If she doesn't do exactly like I want her to, in my mind, I think, well, if that's the way you're going to do it, I'll just, And you fill in the blank. I know none of you have ever done that before. Nope. That's what's happening in our world right now. You do this, I'll do that. Yep. And we'll quote scripture like eye for an eye and tooth for tooth and all those things. Y'all don't do that. That's not what that passage means. You hurt me, I hurt you. Jesus said no. Put your sword down, Peter. Whoever lives by the sword will die by the sword. We love our enemies. We do good to those who hurt us. We pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. Jesus' economy messes with our pride. So here's the thing. What does it all mean? Let me finish this passage. I'm sorry. I can't not finish this passage. I think it's verse 7. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples. Now, if he just stopped right there, he'd say, man, y'all just look back there at old Keith, man. He's a great example. Finish it. Point to us in future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all that he has done for us who are united with Christ. The power to walk in the authority of Christ, it just goes on and on and on. But here's the deal. When you walk in that authority, nobody gets a pat on the back but Jesus. That's what that's saying. We're an example of what he's done, not anything that we've done. Because we'd all have to say, all glory to God, all zero glory to us. Amen? Amen. So what does it all mean? It means this. Everyone bows to the authority of Christ. Everyone. Amen. You do. You bow to the authority of Christ. You can bow now or you can bow later. It just depends on your time, and it's your choice. Amen. That's not a threat. For those of you who are skeptics that may be here in this room or listening online, that's not a threat. That's not being angry or whatever. That is called truth. It just is what it is. And if you think you're the exception, that's a problem. Jesus has all authority, and I don't. I'm just saying what he says. There is no enemy of Christ that will not or has not already bowed to his authority. And then for some of us in our life who've received physical healing, we'll talk about that in this series. This idea of the authority of Christ over even physical things that happen in our lives. The authority of Christ. Some of you have been delivered by demonic influences in your life, and some of you haven't, and you're just thinking, well, I don't even know how to do that. Well, we can show you how to do that. And it's not weird. In fact, it's free. It's free. Some of you are so jailed up and locked up by what you think life ought to be like. And you have followed your own authority for so long, you don't know how to bow to anybody else. Not your spouse, not your friends, not your boss, not anybody. You think you're all that it's about. You're the one person that can, you know, how many people does it take, how many arrogant people does it take to screw in a light bulb? Just one. You put the light bulb in a socket and you think the whole world revolves around you. Listen, I want to tell you, I can speak from confidence in that because I've been there and done that. And those of you who have been in a route and taken that route, can I ask you a question without saying it out loud? How has God humbled you? I can show you ways he's humbled me and allowed me to walk through some things that really humbles me. I don't think Christ does things to us. I don't think he's up there going, ha, today I'm going to get John. John, you just got it coming, man. You're going to sing him notes. And by the way, sing backup today so well. And just, He's not there randomly going, let me see who I can mess up today. He loves you too much for that. He's your father, guys. Okay, that's enough. I'm excited. Sorry. Not sorry. He says, for Christ must reign. Scripture says, for Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. Did you hear what it said? He must reign, and he is. He's at the right hand of the Father right now reigning. Until he puts all of his enemies under his feet. Well, if he's reigning, all of his enemies are there. I think it means that his enemies hadn't figured it out yet. But they will. But they will. And the last enemy to be destroyed, praise God, is death. It's one of our greatest fears. Behind public speaking and spiders, number three is death. Look it up. For the scriptures say God has put all things under what? His what? Authority. His authority. Of course, when it says all things under his authority, it doesn't mean God himself. Why? Who gave Christ his authority. I wonder why Paul had to put that parenthetical statement in there. Why didn't he have to tell somebody when God says he's put all things under his authority, he's not talking about himself? I think it's connected to how many gods those people in Corinth were around all the time. And their gods fought all the time. You know, Zeus would fight over what? Another one of those gods. It's the only one I can think of in the moment. Hermes or Mercury or any of those other gods. Let me just give you a little hint, too. Sometimes we discount other gods in our lives and we say, well, they're just false gods and God's a real God. There are real gods that people follow that aren't the God. That's biblical. That's biblical. And so the idea, this idea that well, those guys, you know, maybe what's represented, maybe the thing that the idol itself, the piece of wood or the rock or the stone or whatever people bow down in front of, that's not real. The dollar bill, that's not necessarily a god. We call that a god, but it's what we do with that makes it a god outside of Elohim, the God of all gods. Man, I just went deep and didn't mean to. But God himself gave Christ his authority. Paul's trying to say, listen, when he says he's got all authority, he's got all of it. And he delegated that to Christ, who delegated that to us. So, I know some of the things. When I was writing this, worship team, you guys can come on up. I know it's 10 to 11. Y'all are shocked. But anyway, it is what it is. There are two truths that I want you to understand, because I think when you talk about the authority of Christ, somebody in the group is saying, yeah, but. I call this Flintstones mentality. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. Do. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. We yeah, but everything with God. And we'll give him an example. You prayed for something that hadn't happened or didn't happen. Yeah, but what about that? Did he not have authority over that? Absolutely did. I wished I could explain all those things to you. But whether or not my prayers get answered, yes. Y'all, I'm cancer-free. I believe it with all my heart. I have a scan coming up October the 3rd, and I'm looking forward to having that scan. There's this little thing inside of me that says, oh, but what about all those other people that had scans and whatever? And I have to just battle that every day. Hey, get out of my face. And I told Liz that. I feel like sometimes I get this. She said to me, what has got in your mind that you think for a moment that this isn't gone? And ultimately, it's just me. It's just me. That's why Paul could say stuff like, if I live, I talk about Christ. If I die, I go be with Christ. That's why the people who are martyred for Jesus, in Jesus' name, or for the truth, we are not worried about them. Our concern becomes for the people around us. Here's two truths. Number one, Christ's authority does not mean that all things always work out the way we want them here. So just go ahead, please. You can either bow to the authority of Christ knowing that this world is broken and not everything always works out the way you want it to. And I want it to. I try to be as honest I can with this, because I've actually heard this whole thing preached. So all you do is got to say this, and this is what's going to happen in the Lord. Or this, you give yourself the Lord in baptism or in belief or faith or whatever. Man, things are just going to work out all fine for you. And that's just not. Jesus said, when you come follow me, you will not have a place to live. Often you won't know what you're going to eat. And all of you will go to gruesome deaths. you will suffer. James and John came and said, can we just sit on your right hand and your left hand in the kingdom? And Jesus said, you're not ready. Can you be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with? Meaning, can you go through the suffering I'm about to go through? And James and John said, yeah, they're the sons of thunder. They can call down fire from heaven. Their mama said it was all right, so they could go do it. And then Jesus makes a statement that kind of blows me away. I thought Jesus, after that, would say, there ain't no way you can do what I'm about to do. He doesn't say that. He said, not only can you, you will. My suffering is not to be compared with the glory that I will see one day. I want you to believe it with me. Prayer team, come on down here. You guys are guests with us. These people that are walking forward now, these are people that will stand down here in the front, and they're waiting on you. You say, well, I've never been here before. That's okay. It's okay. I've only been here a few times. What if I go down there, somebody's going to think something's wrong with me. No, in this church, we know something's wrong with you. I'm sorry. That sounds rude. Because you're looking at a guy that's busted all up broken most of the time. Please don't miss this opportunity. Because here's the thing. Christ's authority, the final truth is this. Final that I'm going to talk about today. Christ's authority does mean that we walk in confidence and trust. And there's the difference. People text me and say, man, I'm all out of whack today and I'm upset and I don't know what to do and I'm scared and I'm worried. And you know, most of the time, not most maybe, but some of the time when you call me or you text me like that, I'm probably sitting in the same place you are. Confused and maybe angry or frustrated or just got out of a sin or was thinking about getting in one. Just as human as I can be. But the difference that we have in our lives, y'all, and we have to live in this, is that Christ will not stop doing what he does, doing what he did, doing what he's going to do. And you say, well, that's too nebulous for me. Okay, walk in the faith of atheism or walk in the faith of evolution or walk in faith. It takes way too much faith to not believe in God for me. Someone looks at you one day and they say, I don't love you anymore, I'm leaving. Or someone looks at you and says, I'm sorry to report, but the test shows you have cancer. Or somebody in your school, this is probably happens in school, they go up to you and they say, I thought you were a Christian. I heard you say that word yesterday. You know, Christian. They only knew, right? This isn't magic. It's not potion. It's a life of confidence and trust. What would you do in your situation right now without faith? I would probably would not be here today without faith. Literally. I just believe that. I wouldn't be in this place anyway. I'm looking at a room full of people that's here because of faith. And I know most of your stories. This makes it sometimes very difficult because I know how bad you're hurting. And I tell you, just come and walk in trust and confidence, and I know how hard that is for you. You don't have to do it by yourself. You don't. We don't even want you to. God didn't ordain for you to do it by yourself. And as bad as it's looked over the years, and as bad as we've acted over the years, the church ought to be and should be. And we strive to make this place a place where you can come and just be who you are. And I know lots of churches say that. We really mean it. We don't have all the answers, but we honest to goodness mean that if you're messed up, you're in a good place. Right here. But we will not leave you there, and neither will God. He don't want you messed up. He wants you in confidence and trust. So beneath the surface of your anxious imagination, release that to the Lord. Oh, Holy Father, please imbibe us today with your Spirit. In Jesus' name. I ask you guys to all stand with me, if you will, please. There are a few of our prayer warriors in the back as well. Some of our team thought it important to do that because some people are not going to walk forward in front of everybody. If you want to just kind of sneak out, pretend you're going to the bathroom and sneak off and get with Mark over here or Christy or Bill back here in the corner. I don't know. I don't see anybody in this corner, but there's three back there right now. Get with them. It's okay. We just want you to come. Here's the thing. You have to submit to his authority. Come be a part of his love, his blessings, his healings, his conquerings, his suffering, his place where sometimes you feel like you just don't know what to do, but he always knows what to do. Let him be your comfort and your peace, because at the end of it all, it's all about him. I'm going to pray and release. You guys go ahead and be released to come and pray right now. Father, Lord, we love you. We honor you. We praise you. We laud your holy name, Father. With open hands, Father, open hands before you. With open hands, we trust you. Fill us with your presence. Fill us with Holy Spirit. Help us to know you more deeply in every way. And Father, we will sing forevermore. We will walk forevermore. We will move. And every breath that we take, we will trust you as we give our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know what you need today, but you can come and receive Christ. You can come, receive baptism, come, receive whatever we can do to bless you with. Thank you. incredible, incredible time.
Jesus is Lord. Amen, church. Hey, let's go live for him today. I love you. Thank you. If you filled out a connection card today, please put those in the little black boxes on the back wall. If you still want to pray, we'll be hanging out down here for just a little bit. Please come and pray. We love you guys. God bless you. Have a great Sunday.